and got to see Miss Joe, which was a blessing. Amen. Glad that she was doing well. She's spirited. I can tell you that. She is one more lady. And I appreciate her. I really do. I hate it that she's not able to get out and do what she would like to do. But Jimmy was with us today. Amen. And he went over and was talking to Miss Joe, and he wanted to know if Miss Joe had any granddaughters. So I told Miss Joe he was prospecting for a wife. So that was fun. Amen. Yeah, it was fun. You just never know. Amen. Never know. So if you ever have a time where you're feeling down or low, you can probably go see the Higgs. You'll probably enjoy some time. Amen. It's a real blessing. I tell you what, it's a blessing to be with the youngins, the kids today, and be able to do some stuff and get around. And just a blessing, I tell you. I really enjoy that. I wished I could do it all the time. But certain restraints won't let me do that. But anyway, I want you to go to the book of Philippians in chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. There's a word missing in the book of Philippians. You will not find a certain word in the book of Philippians. Philippians is a book of joy. And we're going to look tonight in chapter 3, and we're going to look at some things. The verse is probably a verse that is familiar to you, and you've probably heard messages preached on it, but I have not preached that message. At least I do not remember preaching this message, which is very, you know, liable that I would have not remembered. Amen. But I do not think I have over the years, but it is a very good verse, and I like the verse, and it just stuck out with me doing my Bible reading and studying and different things. But I'm looking here in chapter 3, and I know I hadn't told you that word. I'm going to let you find out that what that word is that is not in there in the whole book of Philippians. But the book of joy, so it ought to give you a clue of what that word is that is missing. Which is not missing, it's just not there. you know. So, just letting you know that, right? Paul says this in verse number 10 here in Philippians chapter 3. He simply says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want to look at a few things tonight about how that we could know him. I want to look at a few things about how we could see this, about how that we can know him. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to ask someone to pray for the message tonight. And Brother Stephen, would you pray before I preach? Thank you. Amen. And,
we know what you've left his heart.
Sure.
We know it's what we need. Amen. And we thank you for that. And we just pray that you do service to see bring the message to us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I want you to look at this thing about knowing him. Amen. You say, you know, this is more than being saved. Okay? Paul's already saved. All right, so he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's talking to this church, and he's trying to tell them, give them some instruction, and bring some joy in their life, and he's just simply saying that he wants to know him, wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at a couple of things here, and I've got a few things tonight about how we can know him, amen? What it's going to take for us to know him. Paul gives us these instructions, and we won't go much farther than this chapter here. We may have another verse or two somewhere else, but it won't be far. It won't be many, so you don't have to worried so much about turning and going to a lot of places unless the Lord changes things. And, you know, he can do what he wants to. But I want you to notice this thing about knowing him. And I just may ask you the question tonight. You know, I know you're saved. If you're saved, I appreciate that and can appreciate what the Lord has done. But do you really know him? Amen? I mean, do you really know him? When my wife and I first got married 30 years ago, don't seem like it's been that long. Honestly, it does not seem like it's been that long. And I remember talking to her, and I told her, I asked her, honey, when we get 50, I said, are you going to sit on the front porch with me and us swing or whatever? She goes, sure. I said, how about when we get 60? So we ain't hardly there, but we're almost there. And she's still there with me, amen. And, you know, time just gets by us. But when we first got married, we got married, we was truly married. I got a license to prove it. But I didn't really know her. And she didn't really know me. It took time. Amen? It took time. And it not only took time, but it took some sacrifice on both of our parts for us to really get to know. And I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't know her sometimes. Amen? It's like, amen. And if she's honest, she can tell you the same thing about me. Amen. But there's just something about this thing. Number one, being saved. Amen. That's one thing. But really knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him, can you honestly say that you know him? And so we're going to look at some things tonight about how that you can know him, how that you can get closer. And I appreciate the message this morning, and I appreciate all the comments and everything, but I'm going to try not to be so hard tonight. How's that? Amen. Try to let up a little bit on Sunday night because there's an ulterior motive on some of the people listening, so I got to be careful. Amen. About the message. Amen. Somebody else can tell you what that's about. I'm just aggravating. But anyway, look at this thing. I want you to see this thing about how you're going to know him. The first thing I want you to notice is look up there in verse number 7. He says this. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Can I tell you that the first thing is about if you're going to get to know him after you've been saved, you've got to understand that there's things that you've gained that you've got to lose. There's things that you've picked up along the way, even after being saved, that seem to be important. We talked a little bit about that this morning, about in the storm will allow us to figure out what's important and what's not. And so if we're going to get closer to the Lord, there's some things that we've picked up along the way that we think are very important, that we think makes a difference, and we think, but the reality of the thing is if I want to get closer to him, I've got to get rid of some things that are between he and I. Isaiah said that thing over there in Isaiah, I believe it's in chapter 6. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. So there was something between him and the king, and God, the Savior, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Jesus hadn't come yet as far as being born, but he saw the throne, amen. Listen, King Uzziah was a good king. He did some good things, but Isaiah had his sight set on some things, and I know it's just an illustration tonight, and I don't know how he felt about King Uzziah, but I can tell you that the illustration is in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Sometimes God's just got to move some things out of our way before that we can see the Lord. Amen. God's got to bring some things around, and it could be some things that we've picked up. It could be some things that we picked up along the way. Amen. I'll give you just a couple of two or three of these things. Sometimes we'll pick up some friends that we just might need to get rid of. Amen. Amen. Y'all listening? I'm just asking if you're listening, amen. There are some friends that I picked up along the way, amen. But there's friends that I picked. They're the ones that I picked. You know what I've had to realize is I had to realize that there's some friends that just because I picked them, I had to let some of them go. Because you know what? God has a better vision than I do. God has a more pure heart and all these things. And so I needed to quit picking my friends and letting God pick my friends. Amen, young people. That'd be a good illustration, a good thing for you to remember is Lord, would you allow me to have this to be my friend? Or is this someone you don't want to be my friend? Amen. Let God pick your friends. Amen. Another thing that we need to have a willingness to give up is not only our friends, but maybe some of our talents. You say, well, preacher, I ain't got any talents. Everybody in this room's got talents. Hey, amen. You got your own talents that got your individuals. Amen. And you know something, it's just like that Paul makes the illustration about the body. Everybody can't be an ear. Everybody can't be a nose or a mouth or an eye. It takes all different parts to make up the whole body. Amen. It takes all of the people sitting in the pews, in the pulpit, everywhere to make up this church. Amen. You do have talents. You do have some things that are very important. Hey, let me ask you this. Has God picked your talent or are you trying to pick it out? Amen. So we got to be careful of those things. Sometimes, you know, we'll pick out something and say, you know, that's what I want to do. And God say, well, I don't want you to do that. But Lord, I'm good at this. God says, well, I can fix that. Right? I mean, I like to do this. Maybe we ought to pray it like this. Lord, if you will allow me, I would like to do this. Lord, if it's your will, if it will benefit, if it could be a help. Lord, you tell me, Lord. Amen. And just give up some of those things. How about some of the hobbies? Amen. Maybe some of the places we go. Maybe some of those things. All I'm saying is education is a good thing. But would you be willing to burn your diplomas and burn those things for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul did. He said, all the things I gained, I counted loss. Everything. Everything. Amen. I mean, friends, talents, hobbies, places, whatever it is, if we're going to know Him, we're going to have to get rid of those things. Listen to me, those things that are dominant to who we are. Does that make sense? We're going to have to get rid of those gains that we got that are dominant about me. Because if it's more about me, it's going to be less about Him. So I've got to get rid of those things. Amen. I've got to get rid of those things. Well, that's what I like. Well, maybe that's why you don't know Him. Because it's about you. Amen. I said I wasn't going to get ugly tonight, didn't I? I said I was going to be a little easy. But listen, Paul said that in verse number 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Notice the second thing there in verse number 8. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of a few things. And is that what your Bible says?
Yeah,
all things?
Yeah.
Everything, Lord? Everything. Y'all remember the story of the rich young ruler who came up to the Lord Jesus, didn't they? Don't you?
Yes.
He came up to him and he said, Master, good Master. He said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said, well, honor thy father and mother. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Oh, well, I've kept those things from my youth up. He was a good man. He was a good moral man. Jesus said, okay. He said, take all that you have and sell it and give your money to the poor. What did the Bible say? He went away sorrowful. Why? Because it required everything. He's like, oh, no. And you know something? I'm not a rich young ruler. I'm none of those things. I'm not rich, I'm not young, and I'm not a ruler. Amen. but if I, you know something? It would be something. To say, hey, you got to give everything. But Lord, I gave this, but... Mm-mm. And you know something? Most of the time, if we're willing to give it, the Lord probably wouldn't take it. You say, well, preacher, give me an example. Okay, Isaac, Abraham. Right? Abraham was willing. He went as far as to raise his hand. And then the angel came down and said, stay thy hand. He said, look over here. There's a ram caught in the bushes. And so what happened about that thing? Well, God gave his son back. You just never know. The deal is we got to be willing to do that. Notice he says there, he said, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. The excellency, what is that? That's the supreme. That's the top notch. I mean, to just know about the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Well, when you start to know and understand a little bit of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't you say that you're beginning to know Him? I mean, if you could just kind of see the mind of Christ, be able to understand a little bit about the mind of Christ. I mean, so how is that? Number two is try to strive for the gain of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ instead of the gains of us. Amen. Amen. Try to get that spiritual knowledge, the supreme knowledge of Christ. And let me tell you something. I can go without saying this, but if we're going to go for the knowledge of Christ, we've got to get our knowledge out. We've got to get all of our understanding out. We've got to get all these things, what we thought were important, these things that we gained, amen, and we've got to empty these things out. Listen, you can only put so much water in this little cup right here in this bottle because there's only that much room. Before you can fill this thing up with anything else, it's got to be emptied. And before that God can put something in your heart, in your life, there's things in there that must be emptied out. And we've got to allow God to do that. Amen. So, strive to gain for that excellency of the knowledge. Amen. And then there's a third thing. Look again there in verse number 8. Notice there, it's the latter part of the verse. He said, for whom I have, what's that word? Suffered. Suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung. If you want to know what that is, you reckon those modern versions that they speak like they do on the street put the word they use on the street in there? Are you saying they would lie to you about that? I know they lie to you. Amen. Oh, well, it's just more about how people talk. No. You couldn't preach and read it from the pulpit if you put in there the way people talk. That's just a stinking lie. But I want you to notice there in verse number 8, I have suffered the loss of all things. Suffered? Yeah. Can I tell you a third thing is, if you're going to know more about Him, and that you may know Him, it's going to cost you something. Amen. There's a cost associated with gaining Christ. Miss Bonnie just gave a good illustration when she gave the testimony a few minutes ago. Amen. There's a cost associated with it. There's some suffering that comes along with it. I mean, that's just the way it is, folks. You got to make up your mind that when you start to live for the Lord, you want to get closer to the Lord. And I could give you an illustration, but I'm not. but there's people that have made decisions and simply said, Lord, whatever it takes. And there's a song that is written, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do. And let me tell you something, the Lord may take you up on that. If you're not serious about it, you better not tell Him. Amen. I'm just saying, folks, listen, knowing more about Him and knowing Him more is going to cost you. Why? Because, man, this is not our home. This world we live in, and that's part of that message this morning about a shipwreck. Amen. It's this world is not our home. Storms are going to come. Situations are going to happen. You're just not going to stop those things. And when you try to get closer to the Lord, I mean, imagine this. I mean, here's the Lord Jesus Christ standing before Pilate, right? Well, why is He standing before Pilate? Well, somebody just didn't like Him. They just didn't like Him. Name one thing that He did wrong. Name one thing that He did that was wicked. Name one thing that He did against somebody else that He was worthy to die for. Not one thing could they nail Him to that cross for any crime. Not one thing. But yet, the murderer got to go free. Amen. You know what Barabbas is a picture of? Every one of us. The guilty went free, but the innocent paid the price. Amen. We're the Barabbases. Amen. I'm just saying, folks, it will cost you something if you want to know Him. I mean, if you really want to know Him. But if you don't really want to know Him, you can probably squeak by. You can probably squeak by learning a few Bible verses. Now, I'm preaching to saved people. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people. You're saved tonight. I'm talking to you. Amen. if you just want to squeak by in your Christian life, learn just a few Bible verses. Amen? Learn how to just move your lips a little bit in songs and not really, you know, sing out loud. Amen. You know, just smile, you know, and all this stuff. And then, you know, Monday's coming. Don't worry. You can get out of church and go wherever you want to on Monday. I'm not trying. I'm just being a little facetious. Y'all know that. But I'm just saying they're doing it all the time. You ever been close to somebody? I mean, you know, and you watched them. I was talking to Brother Buddy, and he was talking about the preachers that they saw this weekend and the fellowship that he had, you know, talking to some of them. And, man, that's just a blessing. But have you ever, I mean, you really heard somebody preach or got close to one of those preachers or pastors or just a good Christian woman or a good Christian man or whatever, and you said, man, I want what they got. I'd like to be like that. You ever done that? You ever had a desire to just, man, I have and I still do. Man, there's still some preachers that I'd like to, man, I wish I could do that. You know? And what is that? Well, it's just putting yourself out there, suffering a few things, throwing what you think is important away and letting God fill the vessel. But it's going to take some suffering. Are you willing to do that? I mean, Paul said, man, it's by the suffering. And we got to realize that. We got to understand that. You need to know that before you get into it and make a commitment that you can't keep. You know what Solomon said over there in the book of Ecclesiastes? In the book of Ecclesiastes, you know what he said? He said it's better to I'm gonna tell you just in the layman's terms, it's better to keep your mouth shut than it is to come make promises to God and not keep them. That's what he says. And you know something? We better be careful of, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, I promise. Lord, if you'll just take care of this, I'll never. Amen. I remember Granny, whenever she was still living, and it was funny, and it was funny. But, you know, for at that time, she was like 89 or 90. I mean, she had a few days, you know. And man, for somebody at her age, man, she can move real fast. You couldn't keep up with her. Amen. And there'd be times she was staying with one of her boys at the time, and he lived on this side of us, and her house was up here on this side. And man, there'd be times we'd catch her, she'd be walking up the road, man, she's going home. And you know, she couldn't make it. Her health wouldn't let her, but her mind didn't know that. And so we would go out there, and we'd have to get the car, and we'd pick her up. And you know, here she is. She's like, man, I'll never do that again. Yeah. Yeah, and then she meant she'll never do it again that day. And then tomorrow you'd find her again, you know. But she was in her 90s and had dementia or had that problem with dementia. She couldn't remember stuff. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? Amen. Lord, I promise. Lord, I'm not going to do this again. I mean, you know, we make up these things just so we can suffice for now. And then you know what? We got past that one. Yep. I'm just saying, folks, it will cost us a little bit if you really and truly want to know Him. Yep. I mean, I'll just ask you, do you really want to know Him? There's some people that don't. Well, preacher, don't judge. I'm not. I'm not judging. I can tell by their life. Amen. There's people that could be here tonight that's not. Right. Listen, I've had people to promise me they'd see me tonight. And it didn't happen just today. It's happened over and over and over again. But anyway, they're doing what they want to do. Amen. They do what they want to do. There's a cost associated with gaining Christ. I mean, it's just a cost that's associated with it. When you look at that verse, he said, "I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Basically, when he says that I may win, it's the same thing of when he said that I may gain. Amen? It's basically the same meaning, just different words, that he would be able to gain him from up there in verse number 7. And so those three things are very important. I'll give you just a few more. You know, if you really want to know him, notice you've got to realize something. If you look down there in about verse number 9, notice what he says. He says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see that? So what's the fourth thing? Well, you got to realize, number one, that your gains, you know what? You need to count them all loss. Amen. You're not going to build on what we knew before salvation. You got to understand that we've got to be emptied out and start completely over. Amen. And once you get saved, there's some things that God just says, hey, I'll take that. You don't need that anymore, right? And so we need to empty out. The second thing is you strive to gain the excellency. The third thing is it's going to cost you something. Amen. There's a cost associated with it. And thirdly, when we read there in verse number 9, you got to realize that our righteousness stinks. Our righteousness is no good. There's nothing about our righteousness that God wants. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, if he wanted our righteousness, then why does he give us his son's righteousness? Why does he do that? Amen. If ours was any good, you got to realize that whatever you thought was the way to go, you got to let God have that. Let God guide you. Amen. If you're going to get close. Here's what the Bible says about our righteousness. Isaiah 64, verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness, which is all our righteousness, that ain't just, it doesn't say all our righteousness. It says all of our righteousness says. Yeah. Plural. Everything. Yeah. All that we do and we think we're pretty good at, he says are as filthy rags. You know, I've got some of these Bibles that are back here, and I could bring NIV, ESV, I could bring any of them out here, New American, Holman Standard, any of them, bring them out here and show you. Over there, and we went over this not long ago, but what is it, 2 Timothy 2.15, 1 Timothy 2.15, study to show thyself, to prove unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, they take the word study out, and they say, in those Bibles, they say, do your best. Well, according to Isaiah 64, verse 6, my best stinks. God will not take my best. God doesn't want my righteousness. We gotta realize that our righteousness will not work. And Paul realized that. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. He says, but what we got to have, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We've got to take the righteousness of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how are we saved? For by grace are we saved through faith. Yeah. And that's what he's telling us there in verse number 9. Does this make sense? You okay? Yeah. Amen. You don't give God your righteousness and say, hey, take it or leave it. God says, okay, I'll leave it. Amen. Again, I'm talking to saved people. There's a lot of saved people that want to put out there that God, this is all I got and take it or leave it. You know, I'm not doing any better. I gave you Sunday morning at Christmas. I gave you Sunday morning. I even went for a Christmas play on Sunday night. That ought to work out for something. And then God says, well, what have you done since then? Amen. I mean, we just think we got it. We just know what God thinks. I used to have a boss that, you know, when you're dealing with government contracting, you don't just make decisions. And you start looking through the contract. The contract says, you know, we want this, and we want this product, and this is how many we want, and we want it at this rev level, and we want it at this date. Well, I used to have a boss that'd say, well, what they really mean is. And it's like, you know, I've looked at them a few times and said, no, they put in there what they really want. I mean, you don't make that decision. It's not ours to make. God put in here what he wants. We don't make that decision. It's not on us. And boy, I tell you, that's a blessing if we just really look at it. We don't have to make those decisions. God's made them for us. Amen. So it's not by our own righteousness. Our clean living is filthy. Our good morals, they're filthy. Our doing good to our fellow man, it's filthy. We don't know how to treat each other. Amen. So our righteousness is no good. And can I tell you that there's a fifth thing here about our righteousness? Notice there, it says in verse 9, he says, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So if we're going to know him, we're going to have to quit depending on our righteousness and depend on the Lord's faith and the righteousness of him. Amen. All we can do is call for the righteousness of the Lord. That's all we can do. And let me tell you something. The kids just got through singing that song, when he sees me, he sees what? I'm telling you, when he sees me, I want him to see righteousness. I want him to see that. And the only way he's going to see that is that when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees the righteousness of Christ. Not mine. Not mine. Man, I can't do anything right. I mean, I honestly can't. I can't do anything. If I do anything good, it's him. Amen? It's him. It's not me. And if I do something bad, then that's me. I mean, just say, boy, Brother Johnny, that was bad. Yep, that's me. That's me. I did that. Amen. On it. But if it's good, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. Quickly, I got another thing here. Notice, that's before the verse of verse number 10. Did you notice that? And then he sticks that thing right in the middle in verse number 10 and says, that I may know him. That I may know him. So he gets rid of all the things that he gained. He strives to gain for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ and realizes, and thus realizing, that there's a cost associated with it. And our righteousness is no good, and our dependency needs to be on the righteousness of God. If we're going to know him. If you don't want to do that, then hey, just go live however you want to. I wouldn't advise it, but hey, if you want to do that, it's free country. Do whatever you want to do. Amen. You don't have to answer to me. Amen. So notice as we go past this verse, Paul is still trying to help us understand there's some things we can do to know him. Amen. Come on. Before you got married, and sometimes even after you got married, you know, I'm talking to the married couples, okay? So what you made some sacrifices to know your spouse, didn't you? I mean, yeah. I mean, you thought about them. Maybe, hopefully, you still do. At least a little bit, anyway. I could do much better in that area, so I'm not going to stay on this very long. But the deal of it is you did have a few sacrifices in that time frame, didn't you? And you know what? If you truly love your spouse, you're still going to have a few sacrifices. You're still going to do a few things, right? You're still going to take time, with your spouse and with your kids and stuff. Listen, our kids are grown, but maybe you got little kids. Maybe you could give mama a day out or something. All right, I'll go to something else. I'm saying is you might have to sacrifice something. Amen. take care of the youngins so she can breathe a little bit. Amen. Mama, you could take care of the kids or do something so daddy can have some quiet time or something. I don't know. Our kids are grown, amen, but I can remember times where that it's a chore to take care of kids. Amen. It's a chore. And sometimes you just, maybe you want to help out. Mark that one off, amen. But let me tell you something. In verse number 13, look what he says. He says, brethren, I count myself to have, not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Are you seeing that? If you want to know more about him, there's some things you need to forget about back yonder. Amen. You need to forget about that. Listen, guys, the good deeds you did a year ago won't mean nothing to your wife today. So quit bringing it up. Amen. Well, you know, you remember when I did this or when I did that. Yeah, but that was 7 years ago. Amen. Well, I helped you out then, didn't I? Does that ring a bell with any of us guys or anything? Boy. I'm fixing to say, honey, we're going to have to pray about this. We need to give marriage counseling. You know what Paul said? He said, those things that I did back yonder, they need to stay back there. They just need to stay back there. He said, I'm forgetting those things back there. I'm forgetting those things. And so here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. It says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Somebody that's constantly looking back, talking about how they did this and they did that and how that I used to do this and how the Lord says, hey, that don't work. That don't work. You can't live off all that stuff. You can't live off all that stuff. And I'll even bring it down to the church itself. I do remember a whole week revivals. I do remember, just as I am 25 times at the end of the invitation. Amen. I remember those times. Don't you, Papa? And I remember people getting saved. And I remember 4 and 5 people getting saved at a time. I mean, it was some glorious times. But you know something? We can't live on those days. We're not living in the 70s and 80s. We're living in 2024. Amen. We're living in a different time. We've got to do something with what we've got right now. Paul says, I'm not living off of that back there. I can't do that. Quit bringing it up. Amen. Quit trying to live on it. We can't do that. So what does he do? Well, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ, after he tells them that you can't look back, if you're going to take hold of the plow, you can't look back. He even puts that thing in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. You know what he said? Real small verse, 3 words. Remember Lot's wife. What'd she do? She looked back. She looked back. Amen. And God made an example. And you know something? We keep looking back, and God will make an example. God will make an example. And folks, we got to be careful of those things. We can't live off the past. There's nothing wrong with the stories. There's nothing wrong with the illustrations. But if you're dependent on that to get you closer to the Lord, no. What are you doing now? What are you doing tonight? What are you doing today? Amen? Listen, you'd know it if I didn't pray and I didn't read my Bible. You'd know it. Amen? You'd know that I'm the, you need to pray for the preacher. He needs to study a little bit. Amen. He needs to, and you'd know that. Why? Because, man, I was living off of something else. I was living off the past. I was living off of the way it used to be. No. We got, what are we doing now? What are we doing now? And we got to remember that. So those things which are behind, you know what Paul said? He said, I'm forgetting those things. But you know what he did say? He said, but I'm reaching forth. Are you seeing that in the verse? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, listen, when you forget about those things behind, you don't just stand there and not go forth. You go forward. You've got to keep moving. You can't just say, okay, I'm done with that. I give it to the Lord and all that stuff, and then just sit on you. Backside and just let the Lord handle it. Listen, God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. Amen. He's not going to do it. If you can get up and do some things, then you need to get up and do some things. God's not going to force you to witness. He's not going to force you to read your Bible. God is not going to force you to come to church. How many of you got up this morning and God just kicked you in the rear end and just put you in the car, put your clothes on, and drove you to church? God's not going to do that. What are you doing for him? Amen. Sometimes we think, well, the Lord just, he didn't want me to do it. Well, how do you know? Well, he didn't put me in the car. He didn't get me dressed. He didn't this. Well, what are you doing about it? See, it comes back to that accountability. Right? The accountability, what are you doing about it? Amen. So Paul says this, I'm reaching forth. I'm not stopping right here. I'm reaching for some things, amen. Things that are before me. You know when the Israelites came to the Red Sea and they stopped? Why? Because, man, there was a Red Sea. And they didn't see any way across it. And, man, they got there. And man, as they got there, Moses is like, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord is like, hey, why are you asking me? All he says is, go forward, amen. Sometimes God's not going to open a door until he sees you make an effort. Sometimes the door is going to stay shut. You don't have to push it. You don't have to kick it. You don't have to do any of those things. But sometimes you might just need to knock. Doesn't he say to knock? Amen. I think the word ask is A-S-K. A, ask. S, seek. K, knock. Ask. Ask, seek, and knock. Isn't that what he says do? What is part of that? Man, that's part of going forward. You don't have to kick a door in. You don't have to do all that stuff. Sometimes the Lord just wants to see you make a step. Just make a step. And you know something? With the light of this book, you know what he says in Psalms 119, verse 105? He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know something? And I've made this illustration before. If you got a lamp in your house, you know what you do with a lamp? With the lamp, you light up just a certain area, right? And he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. What does that mean? It means when you walk, it's lighting where you're stepping. That's what a lamp does. But then he goes further and he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, but a light unto my path. Right? So the lamp is catching every step so you can see where you're stepping, but the light is shining out the path so you can see what's out there. Paul says, I'm not looking back there. The light's not shining back there. The light's shining on the path, and that's where I'm going. Amen. That's let me ask you, do you want to know him? It makes you got to make an effort on your side, on your part. Amen. I'm really hurrying. You got to reach forth. You got to go forward. You got to get to that place to where that, you know, you got to get past all this stuff here and go forward. Amen. And then he kind of pushes it even further. I'm almost done. And there in verse number 14, the Bible says, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. He didn't just reach for it. Man, he was pressing for it. I mean, boy, he was giving it all he got, all he's got. He was pressing. Man, he had energy behind it. He was going for it. And he says there, the mark. What is the mark? Man, it's a goal. Have you got any goals for your Christian life? Brother Mike does. I'm just wondering, you got any goals for your Christian? You got goals for wanting to pay off things, don't you? You got dates set and saying, hey, by this time I'd like to have this paid off, or by this time I'd like to be able to have this fixed. We had a business meeting tonight and we got a list of things and you know, these things, what we want to do, when we want to do them. We put dates down there. We got goals. We got marks that are there to say, hey, this is what I want to do right here. Do you have those in your Christian life? I mean, I'm not talking about that you want to lead 15 or 100 people this year. I mean, that's a commendable goal, and it'd be nice to be able to do that and things. And I'm not trying to shoot you down if that's your goal. But how about just saying, Lord, I just want to read one chapter a day. How about just, you know, maybe two chapters a day? Lord, I want to pray for 10 minutes today. Lord, I want to add them to my, I want to know you. Do you have any goals? To be able to know him, to be able to grow as a child of God? Do you have any marks that you got up here to say, hey, I want to reach this mark? We got goals for everything else, but how about your Christian life? Amen. Amen. Paul says, man, I'm pressing toward that mark. And you know, he didn't get there to verse number 14 before he said, I gave everything back to the Lord. He didn't get to verse number 14 before he said, I count all things lost. He didn't get to verse 14 until he said, you know, it's going to cost me something. I'll have to suffer a few things. He said, but I'm not looking back there. I'm looking up here, and I'm pressing toward that mark. Why? Because I've got a goal in my Christian life. I got a mark there that I want to meet. Amen. And then notice lastly, as you see that thing, he's pressing toward the mark. But why is he pressing toward the mark? Man, there's a prize involved. Man, there's a prize involved. Man, he says there in the verse, he says there's a prize. He said, I'm pushing forward. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? There's no higher calling than the calling of the Lord. There's no higher calling than that. But see, even God will reward you for trying to live for Him. Amen. He'll try to reward you for it. He will reward you for it. Paul said that thing over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. He said, we all run a race. He said, they run it for a corruptible crown, but we run it for an incorruptible crown. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And folks, I think a lot of times we forget that this world is not where we're going to stay.
Yes, sir. Thank God.
Amen. God told Abraham, he said, look, he said, you just get out from your family. Get out from this land. And Abraham was like, you know, it doesn't say, but in my mind, if you read between the lines, I'm sure Abraham said, Lord, where am I going? But God just simply told him before he even asked, he said, I'm gonna carry you to a place. He said, where the builder and maker is God. And sometimes we forget that. The Lord's going to get us out of here, and we just got our tent pegs a little bit too deep. Just a little bit too deep. And God's saying, look, you're going to get out of here one of these days, just like he told the guy that said, you know, what am I going to do with all my stuff? Well, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. And you know what God said that is? That's a fool. He said, thou fool. He said, this night thy soul will be required of thee, and then what's going to happen to all this stuff? You see, he spent his whole life building up his barns and did not prepare for eternity. And God said, that's foolish. That's foolish. Amen. So the prize of the high calling, what is the prize? Well, the prize is the rewards and the crowns. That's what the prize is. Paul said, man, I'm going for that mark. And that mark is, that goal is to get some crowns. If you want to know more about him, you need to set your goals a little higher than the things down here. Amen. You need to set them a little higher than the things down here. Amen. I mean, there's nothing wrong, and it's commendable to have these goals and stuff, but I'm telling you, the rewards and the crowns are the prize, and if you don't have a reward or a crown, what are you going to do when you bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ to give to Him? What are you going to give to Him? Let me just show you something. Look in Revelation chapter 4 real quick. Revelation chapter 4. Folks, this is more of a teaching than it is preaching tonight, of just showing us if we're going to know Him, there's things we got to work on.
Yeah, you're right.
Amen. Things we got to work on. Look here look in chapter 5. That's close to chapter 4. Amen. 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 So here's the deal. Look at this thing. We need to set our goals a little higher than this earth, right? And here's the reason. He said in verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to... And they're asking the question. And I saw a strong angel. Not just an angel, but a strong angel. He says, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? The strong angel couldn't do it. And he says in verse 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, who was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. You see in verse number 3, no man in heaven, that's a perfected saint. Amen. They got a new glorified body. They're there in heaven. And they still can't open the book. You think your righteousness is something? You think that our goals down here are going to suffice? And no, we got to know Him. Why? Because if you continue to look, it's no man in heaven nor in the earth. That includes the Pope. Amen. No man under the earth. That includes some of the popes that's already died. Amen. Was able to open. Did y'all get that? Y'all okay with that? And it says, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. There's nobody that is strong enough to open that book except for... Look in verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book, to read the book, neither to look upon. They couldn't open it. They couldn't read it. They could not even look in it. Yes. And then in verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There was only one that was worthy. There was only one that could prevail. There was only one that could take and open that book, amen, and to be able to open the book. There was only one. And folks, I'm just telling you, my goal was just like Paul. I want to give something back. I want to give something back. And I'd like to get some crowns. Not for me. Not to say, hey, look what I got. Not to run around heaven and show people, look here. Amen. Not to do that. But to be able to come before Him and be able to say, I lived my life for you. To earn this crown, to give back. I'm not going to go over it, but I've gotten written down about 5 crowns, and I'll just tell you what they are, and I'll be done. But this prize, this mark of the high calling, understand something. There's 2 things in that verse back there in Philippians 3, verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark. Amen. So there's a mark, there's a goal, but then there's a prize. There's 2 different things there. 2 different things. So what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that when you make a goal and you promise God you're going to do something, and you keep that, God will reward you for it. But if you don't keep that goal, you won't get a reward because you promised God. The thing of it is, that's 2 different things. There's a mark or a goal, and then there's a reward for it. Wondering why we don't get a reward? Maybe we've let God down. Maybe we didn't keep our promise. I don't know. Oh, my goodness, there's a crown of suffering. A lot of them don't have this crown written, and this is a whole different study, but I'm just going to give them to you. I'm not going to elaborate. Try not to. But there's a crown of suffering. It's in John 19:2. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Y'all know who that is. And then there's a crown that's incorruptible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And it's crowned for those that finish their race, finish well. Amen. Not first place, that's not it. But finishing well. That's who that crown's for. And then you've got a crown that is a crown of rejoicing. This crown is for those that win souls and rejoice at the coming of the Lord. They're soul winners. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? And then there's another crown, which is called a crown of righteousness. And this is for those who will stay faithful. Wouldn't you like to have that crown? It's those that stay faithful, and they're at the Lord's coming. They're just faithful. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. And then there's a crown of life, which is given to those that are martyred, those that die for the sake and don't give in to the temptations, even at the point of death. James chapter 1 verse 12 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. In another verse, Revelation 2:10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But then he says, but thou faithful, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. And then there's one more crown that I've got. And I call this one, the Bible calls this one the crown of glory. And this one is the pastor's crown or the shepherd's crown. And he says there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Wouldn't you like to have some of these crowns? Wouldn't you like to have these things and be able to say, Lord, I kept the faith, like Paul said. I kept the faith, amen. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And be able to say, and here's the crown to prove it. Amen. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Do you really want to know him? It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some seeking. It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some study. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some things. Are you willing? I mean, you don't have to answer me. You answer to him. But maybe inside your heart somewhere tonight, if you're not willing, God knows it. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. Amen. And I just tell you, just being saved, that's just part of it. It's just part of it. I'm glad I'm saved, man. I tell you, I know I'm not going to hell. I know I'm not going to hell. I'm glad to be saved. But there's more to it. There's just more to it. And there's a lot of people that just ain't willing to do what it takes to get the more to it. Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle. I mean, greatest Christian ever lived. Said, man, I had to do these things that I may know him. So I just put the question back out there. Do you know him? Oh, yeah, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's his name. I get that. But do you know him? Do you have his mind? Do you have the excellency of the knowledge? And I'm just asking the question. I'm not standing up here telling you I got everything right because the Lord knows I don't have it. And I'm working just like Paul did to say, man, I want to know him. And there's things, if you keep reading in that chapter, you say, man, Paul says, I hadn't apprehended this thing yet. I hadn't attained unto all this stuff yet. But there's things we can do to know him. But we've got to do it. Amen? We got to do it. And he's not going to make us do it. Amen? I feel like just for a minute, we just need to come take an opportunity for an invitation.